The Jericho Network on Westwood One. All right, the Colognes, or maybe you recognize them as Los Matadores, or maybe you know them as Primo and Epico. They got a lot of names, but one thing remains the same. They are tremendous performers that have been in the business their entire lives, and they are here today on Talk is Jericho. We're going to talk about the pro wrestling scene in Puerto Rico. They grew up there in Puerto Rico, working in Eddie's dad's promotion, Primo's dad's promotion, Carlos Colon, the legendary Carlos Colon, and they did everything from ticket-taking and booking to building the ring and actually having matches that led them to the WWE. Epico is Primo's cousin. You'll hear about both their WWE tryouts, how they became tag team champions. They're talking about their gimmicks, their favorite matches, the night Bruiser Brody was murdered in Puerto Rico, and what Freddie Prinze Jr. had to do with their original WWE gimmick. That's right, FPJ, who was Talk is Jericho alumni. Lots of funny and tremendous stories coming up with the Colognes, the Los Matadores. And once again, thank you for listening. If you're listening on iTunes and you haven't hit that subscribe button, it's not too late. If you subscribe, you'll never miss an episode. You'll never have to remember to go download or stream it. Talk is Jericho will be automatically delivered right to the device of your choice. Does not get any better than that, right? And hey, while you're subscribing on iTunes, take a minute and leave us a 5-star rating and comment. I love your feedback. If you show off your creativity and cleverness in the comment section, I just might read it out loud right here on this podcast. So subscribe, leave a 5-star rating and a clever comment, and help out Talk is Jericho. I appreciate it. And one last thing you might want to do while you're at iTunes or even on the Google Play Store, download the new DDP Yoga Now app. Diamond Dallas Page has really outdone himself with his latest addition to the unbelievable DDP Yoga program. All right, I got the DDP Yoga Now app on my phone. It's how I do my DDP Yoga workouts now, right from the app, okay, on my device. I don't have to lug around the DVDs or the obsolete, out of style DVD player that I would plug into my laptop. All that stays at home. I got access to all the workouts on the app. Plus, I get to see live workouts from the DDP Yoga Performance Center in Atlanta, Georgia. It's very, very cool. You guys know how much I believe in DDP Yoga. You know my DDP Yoga story and what Dallas did for me, my career, and my life. And now that I'm back at WWE, I'm back doing DDP Yoga almost daily, all right? DDP Yoga is more than just a workout program. It's a healthier way to live. And that's why DDP has given you guys a great deal on DDP Yoga. Just go to ddpyoga.com/Jericho. When you purchase DDP Yoga for yourself, you'll get 3 free months of the DDP Yoga Now app. It really is a tremendous piece of business. You get access to a lot more than just DDP Yoga workouts. You get recipes, access to cooking shows, and tools to help you track your progress. Plus, you can earn rewards throughout the app to redeem for prizes and DDP Yoga merch. The more workouts you do, the more points you get. The more points you get, the more merch you get for free. All right. And if it's motivation you need to get started, as if that wasn't enough, then check out all the amazing inspirational videos that Dallas and his crew put together. You can see all of these transformation video stories at ddpyoga.com/Jericho, and you will not believe these success stories. Get started on DDP Yoga today. It's one of the best decisions you can make for your health, for your fitness, for your mental welfare as well. And you can take advantage of this special offer for you sexy beast Talk is Jericho listeners. Get the lowest price on DDP Yoga and 3 free months of access to the incredible DDP Yoga Now app by going to ddpyoga.com/Jericho. Don't miss out on the exclusive DDP Yoga offer at ddpyoga.com/Jericho. You'll get the best price on DDP Yoga plus 3 free months of the DDP Yoga Now app. Change your life. Get started today. Get in the best shape you've ever been in at ddpyoga.com/Jericho. Go do it now. Hey, you guys know how much I love hearing from you, so keep those tweets and iTunes comments coming. I really do read them, and don't miss the chance to take our very important listener survey at podcastone.com. Your responses will help make this show the best it can be. It'll only take about 3 minutes of your time, and you'll get the instant gratification that comes with knowing you help support Talk is Jericho. This is just as important as supporting all our great sponsors. You can tell us how you really feel about the show and help us get to know you better. So do it now. Take the survey at podcastone.com. That's podcast. ONE.com, and keep those tweets and iTunes comments coming.
Talk is Jericho, baby. Talk is Jericho. Talk is Jericho, mama. Talk is me.
All right, so it's very apropos that we're here in San Juan, Puerto Rico, with one of the, I guess two of the guys from the most legendary family in Puerto Rico, the Colognes, and it's the Los Matadores, but it's Primo and Epico, yep. But it's Orlandito. And Eddie, yeah. You guys got a lot of names, man.
I forget what my name is sometimes.
But I mean, it's always cool to come to Puerto Rico. It's such a great wrestling country, and it has been for years and years and years. And you guys started here because your dad is Carlos Colon, and your uncle, the greatest professional wrestler in Puerto Rican history.
Well, yeah, I mean, he started a wrestling promotion with his business partner, Victor Javiga, who is a Croatian.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's Croatian.
Okay.
And they both met in Stu's territory.
Really?
Up in Calgary. Yeah. They wanted to open a territory. I think they thought of someplace else. Before,
I think it was North California, something.
No,
like that.
No, Utah? I think it was like in Utah. They had this weird idea of opening a promotion up in Utah, or where there was no territory. So let's go to a virgin territory. Let's try to pop it, but that was a bad idea. Thank God they decided to come to Puerto Rico, and my dad's been running promotion for over 40 years.
So they started in Puerto Rico and then went off around the world. So there was no territory in Puerto Rico when your dad first came?
I believe Eddie Graham would do a couple shows here.
Okay.
Florida Championship Wrestling, he'd do one or two a year, kind of like the Bahamas. Yeah. And, it was just one of those sporadic.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when we go to Singapore, We go there once every other year.
Yeah. Right.
I think that's what Eddie had. But my dad got here, and he popped the territory pretty quick. And it's a funny story because his first promotion, his first event that he had, it was in some town called, I think it was Utuado. The arena hall held about maybe 2,000 people. And this wasn't with no TV. This was just with one of those loudspeakers. He had a Volkswagen Bug. And he'd go around, the neighborhoods. He was promoting. I mean, he was going grassroots from, so knocking knocking on doors and going to the supermarkets. Yo, we got
really?
The show. Yeah, yeah. And back in the day, I mean, there was no entertainment. So for the people of Puerto Rico, I mean, to have any show come to them, I mean, it was an event. The funny thing is, he sold it out, 2,000 fans. The rib is. The truck driver got drunk the day before, passed out, so he didn't have a ring. And my dad was so pissed. He was like, "I'm gonna put some mattresses. We're gonna have to have a. We're gonna have to do something." He had to cancel it. Oh, he was. But in hindsight, I guess you have to learn. When you're a promoter, you take those hits. Luckily, he took those hits early.
It's funny, though. I've had that happen before when we were in Smoky Mountain Wrestling. The truck got lost or broke down, and they have to set up the mats. I don't know if you guys have ever had to do this, the no-ring match, where you're like, talk about exposing the business. You're just like, there's no ropes to hit, but you're kind of hitting. Stay on the mat, and you fight around the school gym. It's like the worst. It's like having like a Van Halen concert with no guitars.
No guitars.
So where do you fit in? Your dad is his dad's brother,
yeah.
Orlando?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. They both actually started training wrestling back in New York together. Mm-hmm. But my dad figured I ain't putting some weight. I'm still skinny. My brother's outweighing me by 40 pounds. And he figured, let me join the army. He joined the army. But he helped my uncle further down. He helped run the business. He was the accountant for 5-10 years.
Okay. So you're talking about Puerto Rico, and it's all, like everything else. It goes in cycles, the business. Because there, at one point in time, stadiums here in Puerto Rico, running stadiums, right? Yep.
I think the record that my dad held is he sold out three. I think it was one Coliseum and no two Coliseums and a stadium on one night.
One night.
What he did, he had four matches in each venue, and he used to use the satellite dish, which cost like $100,000 back in the day, because they didn't have the internet. This was like in 80, I think it was 87 or 88. It was one of his anniversary shows, big event. So he sold out all three. And they had, it was like one match in one arena, then they'd go to the other venue and then show it on satellite TV. Each arena had a big screen TV.
Okay.
And this was, innovative back in the day in 88.
So it's almost like closed circuit?
Closed circuit.
Okay,
yeah.
Right. Yeah, that was the pay-per-view of 1988.
Exactly. Right. It was off the chain. I mean, my dad was definitely, and still, he thinks about the business. I don't know anybody who loves the business more than him. I mean, Vince might be up there, but my dad, he's in contention.
Well, he would have to be, like you said, being such an icon on this island. You think of Puerto Rico, you think of Colon. That's it. And you guys are part of, like, the royal family here. How was it for you guys growing up in the business?
Oh, there's a bunch of stories.
We had our own promotion.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, my dad
definitely kayfabe to the very end. He was diehard kayfabe.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I already knew, but he was hoping I didn't know. Mm-hmm. And I was like 16, and then he kind of said, you know, because my brother started wrestling at that time.
So your brother's Carlito.
I had to have that speech.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to hurt his feelings. I was like, okay, Dad. Yeah, okay. Oh, thank you.
It's almost like getting the birds and bees speech.
Yeah, exactly. It was a little awkward. But I remember I was in like third grade, and my dad had to pick me up in school. And in the office, the boys would come on Wednesdays to get paid. So I remember the office was on the second floor, and it had windows where you could see outside. But they can see inside. It was like a mirror. Like when you go to the police lineup,
right.
It was one of those mirrors.
It was like a mirror window.
Yeah, a one-way window. And I see all the bad guys coming. And I start, you know, I'm in third grade. So, you know, and he kayfabes, you know, he kayfabes my wife and everything. I mean, my mom's, yeah. And he's like, oh, you better hide here in the office. Don't worry. I'll be all right. So he locks the door. He leaves me in there for about an hour. I'm worried about my pops getting beat up. Yeah, he's laughing. He's paying out the boys.
You think he's getting attacked by a bunch of heels, right?
Yeah.
That's funny, but that's an old school thing. Like I know from talking to Brett, it was like that. Talking with Eddie, and you know, the dads would never want to tell the kids what was up. You know, so how was it for you when you finally found out?
Well, I think it was at school, like a bunch of there was a couple of kids, older kids that kind of, you know, they said, hey, this looks kind of fake, this and that. And I think it was actually we were watching a video, and then we saw somebody exposed.
Oh, you saw the old Gigski.
The old Gigski.
Was it one of the Samoans?
It was one of
Kishi. I think it was Kishi.
It was Kishi.
Yep.
It was blatant.
Yep.
Yeah, we're like, wait a minute. Okay. I get it now.
It all came true, right?
Yeah.
Well, that was Puerto Rico was known for being a very bloody territory as well. Almost like the early days of what became the hardcore style started here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'd say, you know, ECW's foundation. I mean, I'm sure, and I think I've talked to Paul about this. He was inspired by this territory, and I think Funk's too. Which was, you know, blood, guts, gore. And, I mean, people believed it back in the day. It was hardcore. Like, if you were a heel and you don't like to get hit by fans, don't come to Puerto Rico.
Don't come to Puerto Rico.
The fans would attack you?
I remember Caguas, which is a big town, big wrestling fan town. There was a tunnel where the bad guys would come in and out, and they call it the Tunnel of Death. Because the security guards would have umbrellas. And it was indoors. Fans were throwing rocks. I remember there's an old lady. She used to come with kids. The kids would fill up cups with piss.
Wow.
Just to throw on the heels. That's how much they believed it. I mean, they were passionate about wrestling. And, no, it was crazy. So, I remember they had to, like, the bad guys would have to fake out. So they could, you know, launch their stuff and then hit the locker room.
Do duck and dodge.
Yeah, duck and dodge,
stuff,
dodge and dive.
So yeah, so if you were a heel here, you're getting attacked.
Yeah, you were getting attacked. Yeah, there was no way around it.
There was a wrestler. His name is Bronco, a hell of a promo guy.
Oh,
he called. There's a town which is predominantly it's like a black town.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Loiza.
Mm-hmm.
He called them Haitians, and they didn't like that.
Oh,
they burned his car.
Really?
Yeah, they burned his car.
Like, how do they know which one is his? They're watching him come in.
Yeah, they're watching when he comes in and says, oh, we're going to get him. We're going to get him.
That's some old school stuff too, right? Mm-hmm. So when you guys were kids, you guys obviously were friends with each other.
Yeah.
Did you like always say, like, well, someday we got to get into wrestling? Or was it kind of like predestined just because of your family?
We kind of knew.
Yeah.
When we were little, we always talked about it. It was just a matter of when.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I decided to play baseball for a little bit and try my luck playing baseball, but I knew that I wasn't going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Then I made the phone call. Actually, I called him.
Oh, no. This son of a bitch, what he did was, my dad has a wrestling promotion, right? He has the facility.
What was it called?
Learn. WWC.
Yeah.
It was called Capital Sports
World
Promotion.
Wrestling Council.
World Wrestling Council.
Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha, right.
He's in college, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's supposedly on a baseball scholarship. Well, down the grapevine, we find out that he's training at a wrestling school up in Michigan. And then when my dad finds out, he gets pissed off. He said, why didn't he just call me? But, you know, to credit to him, he didn't want, you know, oh, I don't want my uncle to, you know, baby me and this and that.
He was like,
let me do it your own way.
Yeah, kind of pay his dues in a different way.
And you said that was up in Michigan?
Yeah, Michigan with Dan Severn.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you didn't want to take it the easy way because you're a Cologne.
No, yeah, I just wanted to suffer like everybody else.
Right.
I called him afterwards, and he hooked me up with Sabu.
Okay.
Sabu got me some dates with him, which is another...
What was your wrestling name then?
It was Orlando.
Okay.
Yeah, Orlando. I had nothing.
Just Orlando?
Yeah.
Like Bono? Orlando.
Yeah.
It's funny.
I didn't know.
My brother, when he found out, he said, oh, I'm going to give you a real indie name. So he gave him the name of Fireblaze. And he had it when he started. My dad said, oh, I like it. Let's use it. They call him Fireblaze, yeah.
Now, how about for you when you first started? Were you as a Cologne, or was that too much pressure when you first starting out?
Well, luckily, I think my brother took most of that,
okay,
initially,
because
he was the one. But, man, when he started, he was green as hell, but he was jacked. I think he was in his best shape when he was like 17, 18. Hmm. Just 8-pack, just jacked, young, loving the gym. When he started, man, he was over as hell. I was like, I can't follow that. There's no way, because he repopped the territory.
Really?
The territory was in a little slump, and my brother came around, and just the fans,
What was his name? Carlito?
Carly
Cologne. Right.
Yeah.
So because it was like the second generation of Carlos Cologne, the second coming, he repopped the territory.
Repopped the territory. Yeah. Mm. We were selling out left and right, and at that time I was working in concession. Like I think I had. And we both had almost every job in the business you can imagine. I mean, aside from ringing the bell, I mean, we did camera work. We sold tickets. We sold masks.
Really?
I was 14 years old. I was selling beer. I could open a 6-pack with my two hands in under 30 seconds.
And pour them for all the people that
want. Yeah, pour them all with a little foam.
But that's part of learning the respect for the business. Yeah. Like even Stephanie, when she did this show, said the same thing. Vince had her working answering phones at the front desk of Titan Towers. Every job that you can get, because you're learning the business through and through.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, my dad made sure that we did that. I had to set up the ring a couple times, take it down. Which I enjoyed, man, because when you love the business, I mean, it's not a chore; it's a privilege.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, who were some of the guys that you guys watched when you were kids that you liked in the territory that was here?
I was a big fan of Eddie Gilbert. Eddie Gilbert was actually the booker for a while in Puerto Rico. He loved Puerto Rico. Dick Murdoch was a comedian. I mean, I've never seen what a performer.
Yeah. Good guy too. Funny
good guy,
guy
too. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A little
yeah.
bit gruff when you first meet him, but then after you get to know him, he's a super nice guy. Yeah,
yeah. A good cook too. I said my dad told me.
Oh yeah.
Good. Yeah, yeah. Good. He's good at the barbecue. Well, Abdullah the Butcher, obviously. I mean, I think he was like my dad's number one foe, and he was another guy that every time he come to Puerto Rico, I mean, business was gonna pop.
He was such an attraction.
He was definitely an attraction. And sometimes his matches only lasted like 3 minutes.
Really?
But it was the aftermath. That would last, 15 minutes.
It's like fighting.
I mean, the fans were really intimidated by Abdullah the Butcher. I was too until I heard him talk. Hey, champ! Oh, I was like, oh, no, Todd. You ruined it.
What does he sound like?
Oh, high pitch. You've ever heard Abby?
No.
Hey, champ, how you doing? Oh, yeah, really, the highest pitch. I mean, somebody who looks so, intimidating and fierce and ugly to have a high-pitched voice. I mean, that's the ultimate rib.
Well, that's why he never talked.
That's right. But that's the thing. Abdullah, is a huge, huge attraction in Japan and Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
Those are like his two biggest places.
Yep.
And in the States, you know him, but here and there in Japan, just like this iconic, legendary guy.
Yep. And a lot of respect to him, because I think he's one of the guys that have made it, in this business and didn't have to go to WCW.
Mm-hmm.
I think he did a little bit of work in WCW, but it wasn't really his mainstay.
Yeah.
And the Fed. So
I don't think he ever worked here.
No,
he never worked
in
WWE.
No, he always wanted to work the Garden, which that was
really?
His dream, and he never got to do that.
Huh. How about you, Orlando, when you were growing up, who'd you like?
I like the tag team, but I like the Youngbloods.
Oh.
Mark and Chris Youngblood, they were awesome. I loved them growing up. My uncle, obviously, the Super Medicos, Jose Estrada.
Mm-hmm.
He was awesome. The white mask, the white outfits.
Yeah.
I don't know how they kept their outfits white wrestling in stadiums.
Yeah, and the dirty rings.
They wrestled after some bloody matches.
Yeah. Usually the tag matches was the one that closed the show.
Yeah.
Like my uncle always went fourth.
Why is that?
He don't want to stay till the end.
Stay till the end, yeah.
I thought that might be a reason. No, I just want to go home.
But the tag usually went main event last.
Okay.
Usually that was
because they would tear it up.
My uncle, that was the best match of the show.
Because there's some guys that are here too. You mentioned Super Medicos. Who are some other like the Puerto Rican guys that are like Chicky Star?
TNT was Savio Vega.
Savio Vega, right?
Yeah. He was probably like a number two or number three babyface.
Okay.
For a time.
How about and obviously the big controversy with Bruiser Brody? How popular was Bruiser Brody here?
Bruiser was up there with Abdullah the Butcher. I mean, he was one of those guys that, you know, the fans were afraid of. I remember very little bit because it was in '88. I was like
four.
I was like
four. Six,
yeah, five or six years old. But yeah, Bruiser Brody. He was an intimidating figure.
Did you ever meet him?
Yeah, I met him when I was, because I remember I was hanging around the locker rooms when I was like four or five. Mm-hmm. My dad would bring me around. But back then, it was two different locker rooms. You had the heel, and then you had the baby face. And if it was a baseball stadium, they'd come out of the visitor locker room, and then the baby faces would come out of the home team.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I had a chance to meet him because he was baby face for a while too.
So let's discuss that for a bit. So he was basically murdered in the shower. That's what happened, right?
I
he was stabbed in the shower at the arena.
He had an argument with one of the wrestlers. I think he was booking at the time. And from what I understand, they got an argument, something about taxes that he had to pay. And then he didn't want to do something. He didn't want to pay it, whatever. And I think he was intimidated because Bruiser was so big.
And hard to deal with.
Hard to deal with. Yeah.
Never did jobs and never, you know.
No. Oh, my dad was so pissed off.
What happened?
They had, it was a big show. It was in Puerto Rico. And my dad brought, I think it was Stan Hansen, Abdullah the Butcher, Brody. Mm-hmm. And my dad. So it was a tag. And since they had Japanese media, nobody wanted to do the favor. And my dad says, I'm paying you guys.
Big money.
I'm in my town, and you guys are gonna make me lose. He said, "Forget about it. I'll do it." Bastards.
He was
pissed off.
A true businessman, though, right? Think about those three too: Hansen, Brody, and Butcher.
Once he saw that, because it was Japanese media, it was such a big event. He said, "No, I'm sorry. I'd like to, but I just can't."
30,000 people at the Beathorn Stadium. That's one of the records.
But see, those guys were making, you know, 15, 20, 25 grand a week in Japan.
Back in 80-something. Yeah.
Right, and wins and losses meant the world back then. They're like, if someone's going to take a picture of me going down, it could cost me money, right?
Yeah.
But your dad...
Future bookings.
So when the thing with Brody went down, did that hurt business here?
Yes, it did. Like a lot of American guys didn't want to come back.
Mm-hmm.
They want to come to Puerto Rico. They love Puerto Rico, but you know, and I understand that because it was controversial. I mean, it still is to this day.
Yeah.
A lot of guys didn't want it because they were afraid. Oh well, you know, if that happened to him, I mean, you know,
right? What could happen to me? I cut you off before, but you said that Bruiser was so intimidated that he had a knife with him. You said
I believe so. He had something with him. That's what happened. I think Tony was in the locker room. Tony Atlas.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Dutch. I don't know who else. I remember I met his kid. We were playing Legos because they brought the wife down and the kid and I didn't know he was Brody's son.
Mm-hmm.
So like afterwards, oh, who's that kid? I said, oh yeah, that's Brody's son. I was like, oh,
gotcha.
Yeah,
but that's such a crazy story, you know, talking about that, because that was one of the Puerto Rican guys, I believe, was Invader, whoever it was.
Yeah, Invader.
What's the word? But and then they have this argument and they have this altercation, and then Brody gets stabbed. And it's just such a
and I think it was real tragic, because it was from what I understood, from what, you know, you hear by the grapevine, so I don't know how true this is, that it wasn't a deep wound, but I guess the ambulance thought, oh, this might be a wrestling thing, this and that. They didn't tend to him. They didn't expedite it. You know what I mean? It was like a semi, and it didn't look like a very life-threatening wound.
Gash, yeah.
But I guess it got an artery, and I think he bled.
You're kidding me.
That's what I think.
So that's the hospital story that nobody
knows. That I've never heard that before.
Sitting there at the hospital.
Wow.
For a while.
I was always under the assumption that he was in the shower and died in the shower.
No, he was good.
Wow.
But also, back in the day, people believed wrestling was real. And I'm probably saying he's a bad guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
It's a lot of factors that go into that weird night.
It's amazing how much the business has changed, like you said, you know, and people think that, oh, you know, he's a bad guy, let him suffer for a bit, right? You know, it's funny, the guy who started Japanese wrestling was a guy called Ricky Dozan. He brought it from the States or Korea. And same thing happened. He got stabbed. But what happened was that it was like a mafia thing, and they had pissed on the knife first. Wow. So the wound wasn't bad, but it got infected from the bacteria in the urine, and that's how he died. So you never, it's like, doesn't have to be like a total, psycho gashing. Right. Just the cut is all
the cut itself,
you know? So for you guys, I want to talk about when you started making your way out of Puerto Rico. Did you always have an eye on making it in the WWE? We're going to get into that. But first, we want to help out all the Talk is Jericho listeners who still haven't taken care of Valentine's Day. It's only a few days away. Come on, guys. Don't be the last in line. But lucky for you, your boy's got your back. You still got time to send a ridiculously large bouquet of flowers. Order from thebooks.com. Use my promo code Jericho and be the Valentine's Day hero of the day. All right, it's books.com, B-O-U-Q-S. So Books flowers are grown on the side of a volcano. That's not a joke. They're grown in these eco-friendly farms on the side of the volcano in the equator. Their blooms are larger, their colors are more vibrant, and that's because of the soil, the volcanic soil, and the flowers also grow much closer to the sun. I'm not a scientist. I just know these are the best flowers that I've ever seen, and a lot of that has to do because they're 10,000 feet up on the volcano. That's where they're grown. And here's the best part. Book's flowers are stunning. Like I said, they're going to be the biggest, brightest bouquet compared to her friend's lousy bouquets. And you're going to get that starting at $40. No upcharges. No extra fees. If it costs $40, it costs $40. That's it. Even delivery is absolutely free when you register with the Book's. And if you use my promo code Jericho, you'll save 20% off the bouquet of your choice. All right. How cool is it to say the flowers were grown on a volcano? Talk about an icebreaker with your honey. That's extra points for sure. What are you waiting for? Take care of your Valentine's business and do it without breaking your bank and get the best flowers available. Go to Books.com, B-O-U-Q-S.com. Use my promo code Jericho to get 20% off your order. Books.com, that's short for bouquet, get it. Promo code Jericho, Books.com, promo code Jericho. Valentine's Day, done. Become the Valentine's hero of the day with Books.com. All right, I'm sitting here with the Colognes, and we're going to talk about their WWE tryout, how they came up with their gimmick, Los Matadores, and where that even came from. And you know why we can even talk to the Colognes at all? Because of you guys. Because you listen to this show, and you support the Talk is Jericho sponsors, who make it possible for me to do this podcast for you for free for twice a week, all right? And that includes TrueCar app. You know I'm into this app. I got one on my phone. I've been working on it very slowly, but it does. It's taking care of all of my new car needs. I've been using it to figure out what kind of car to buy and see where I can get the best deal. TrueCar is a tremendous option. You can search out the make, model, options, and even the color of your car you want and see what other people paid for it to compare. And the great thing about TrueCar and the TrueCar app is that you can lock in your guaranteed savings, skip the hassle of negotiating with the dealer. You don't have to worry about having a cup of cheap coffee and sitting next to a car salesman wearing cheap cologne trying to sell you all the stuff you don't need. You eliminate the middleman. You don't have to worry about bargaining for the extras, and you don't have to spend hours and hours at the dealership wasting your afternoon at the dealership. TrueCar users save on average over $3,000 off MSRP. $3,000 is a lot of cash. TrueCar really makes car buying that easy. There's over 10,000 dealers in the TrueCar certified dealer network, and they sold over 2 million cars, so you know they know what they're talking about. They got an app for everything these days, but I'm going to actually save you a serious chunk of change. $3,000 off MSRP is the average of savings. They got an app for everything, like I said, so do the smart thing. Download the TrueCar app. Save time, save money, save us Y2J, and never overpay. Download the TrueCar app and get the best new car that you want today.
It's your last chance to get great holiday savings at Guitar Center. Like a Yamaha F335 acoustic guitar, just $99. Or get a Luna Soprano ukulele, only $49. Plus the newest and hottest guitars, drums, keys, and more. Exclusive gear you can't get anywhere else. Special financing. Lessons for the beginner on your list, and gift cards, the perfect present for every musician. So hurry in and find your sound at Guitar Center.
So for you guys, when you started making your way out of Puerto Rico, did you always have an eye on coming to the WWE, or was Puerto Rico enough?
Well, it was funny because when I started, I wanted a car because I was 17 when I started.
You wanted
a
car?
I wanted a car. I said, yo, everybody, all my friends are getting cars. And they're like, well, no. I said, you don't deserve a car, my dad said. I was like, okay. So he has this big show anniversary. My brother's already 2 years in the business. And then it was like the number two. The guy my brother was wrestling, his lackey,
My dad, you know, made a story, and I was going to feud with his lackey, Jose Rivera. And I wanted a car. And he said, okay, I'm going to get you a car. Don't worry about it. All you have to do is this one show for me. I was like, okay, great. And he knows somebody, the dealer, good price, everything. I was like, great. We go pick out the car. I said, okay, well, next week, this car is yours. I'm going to have it, you know, washed and whatever. So I do the match. He gives me the keys to the car. I was like, okay, great. And I says, oh, son, how are you going to pay for this car?
You want a job?
He said, well, I'm kind of screwed now. So that's how I started. I didn't envision myself starting at 17, but my dad got me.
He roped you in.
Yeah, yeah, he roped me real good.
Typical
hook,
promoter, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because that's what I always heard about Puerto Rico. Because I was going to come down here once maybe or twice. I think Ricky Santana called me once to come down, but I got a gig in Mexico, which was a little bit better. But I'd always heard that they always owe you a paycheck.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
like you're always behind.
Yeah,
they keep you around, right? Here's your paycheck for a month ago. But you owe me for 2 weeks. Well, that'll be next week.
Yeah.
So what's it like growing up in Puerto Rico? Because it's funny, you come down here, and you know, we're still in the United States, technically, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But it does seem like a whole other country, which it is. It's kind of strange. So how is it growing up here?
It was awesome for us. I mean, for me, it was same as any other state. But for us, we can drink since 18, and
it's the same in Canada.
Yeah,
us too,
and drinking is part of kind of the Puerto Rican culture. So when you turn 21, it's not that big of a deal. You don't go nuts and do a big party, and some people end up dying because of alcohol poisoning.
Yeah.
But we were serving our parents drinks since we were like 10 years old. At a family gathering. A family gathering, they always play dominoes and tell stories. And we always loved to listen to their stories because it was wrestling related.
Yeah.
So it was me and him and Carly. We would go and just listen to them and play around. And, hey, kid, can you make me a drink? Make it extra stiff, you know. And they will, you know, if we do a good job, they'll, you know, they'll put us over. If we did a shitty job, they'll make us do another one. You know what I mean? But it was awesome growing up with Eddie and Carly in the business, you know. And funny story, like when we were kids, we had our own little promotion.
Yeah, you mentioned that. Yeah,
WWW. Remember?
WWE, yeah.
What did that stand for?
Everybody had like 22 different characters.
Yeah, we were the four cousins were the Mantas. One was black, blue, green.
The
red,
Mantas.
Yellow, the Mantas.
Uh-huh.
Me and him were the Seahawks. Carly and Danny, my other cousin, were the Twin Eagles. everybody was a champion.
Okay.
So, and it went by age.
Yeah, yeah.
So Carly was the top guy. So he was the universal champion.
Okay.
Danny was universal. I was universal, and Eddie was world universal. You know what I mean? So everybody had a championship, you know?
It's like boxing.
Yeah. We were, every time we got together for Christmas or something, one of the rooms was going to get trashed. We were always wrestle. And the older we got, we started charging my sister and my cousin like 25 cents to see us. And they didn't even want to be in the room with us, you know? We just made them. he brings out his dad's robes and his thing that we wear and fight. And
just having you. Would you wrestle just in the room, or would you have a ring? Okay.
Yeah, room,
put some pillows down.
We get our butt whipped because we won't go to sleep till like 2 o'clock in the morning. And me and my mom, my pops would come and get your ass to bed now. Damn it.
Did you ever have any, like, you know, if you're growing up in the business, and did your dad ever, like, was there every time when you had a party at your house or something like that, and your dad came home and caught you, or was there anybody that said, you know, wrestling's all fake? And like, was it having your dad being Carlos Colon, was it intimidating for other kids?
Well, you know what? I had to defend myself a couple times at school because, you know, you're Carlos Colon's son.
Yeah.
I could beat him up.
So
I did get that a couple times.
A few times.
But it was always older kids, so I had to, you know, scruff it out.
So when finally you came into the business for the car, you came into the business, you know, the way that you came in, you went through Michigan, through baseball, how did you finally end up getting the chance to come to WWE?
Well, my brother was already here. I think he was here a couple of years, and I was working for my dad, you know, on a consistent basis, week in and week out. And at the time, I was actually helping my dad give out finishes and helping him out because, you know, the older he gets, the more stress and I want to relieve him from all of his stuff, and I want to learn the business too. So I offered, which was a rib, because he was like, oh, he had me do so much stuff. I was like, and it felt awkward because here I am giving out finishes to legends like Chicky Starr. And I'm 19 at the time. I feel awkward. I'm like,
here comes Clone's kid.
Here comes this little bastard. What? I got to do what?
Yeah.
This kid's telling me that? And I already feel awkward, you know, having to do it. But I was like, well, it's got to be done.
And, you know, I'm 19. I have some altercations with some guys, but... There was one or two. Chiefy was always cool. You know, it was always with veterans. I didn't want to, you know, step on their toes. I didn't want to piss them off.
Mm-hmm.
Out of respect. But my dad had me doing stuff like that. But, you know, it was stressful at the time. I got gray hairs long before I should have.
But it's hard, like you said, like when people see you as you know, as the kid and you're coming in to give what finishes.
Finishes
I remember when Bret Hart first came at WCW, Terry Taylor was the booker. Yeah. And he came in and told Bret what the finish was. And Terry left and Bret was like, let me get this straight. The Red Rooster is giving up finishes now. And it's like, well, he's kind of the booker now. He's like, he'll always be the Red Rooster to me. So you're giving up finishes and you're working kind of behind the scenes and learning the business. And then Carly says, come up here and give it a try.
Yeah, my dad talked to Johnny Ace. And Johnny says, let's give the kid a look up. So they fly me there, and my dad comes with me. And I'm
what city were you in?
I'm already pissed off because I'm like, I gotta be the only guy in this business that brings his dad a freaking truck. So I'm nervous. I have a horrible try. I'm surprised they signed me. They didn't call
really?
Me for like 6 months. Oh, it was atrocious.
Who were you with?
I was nervous as hell. I put the blame on me. I was working Shannon Moore in Pittsburgh, which is not a good town. Crowd reaction.
Yes.
They didn't know who the hell I was.
Yeah. Famous at best for being a pretty dead crowd for the biggest stars.
So anyway, I have my dad there, and it's a funny thing. I know it was a bad match. I get back, and I have my dad, and his arms are open, like he's about to give me a hug. But he doesn't. He shakes his head like, what the hell was that? I just tell him, yo, Dad, just take me home.
You blew it in front of your dad.
Yeah, yeah. I said, why do you come? Oh, I was so pissed.
So you're just really nervous.
Yeah, yeah. I was really nervous. Well, my first match I ever had, I got stage fright, and I didn't want to get in the ring. I said, Dad, I don't know if I can do this. It was a six-man. It was me, my brother, and my dad against One Man Gang, Dutch Mantel, and Ray Gonzalez. And I was supposed to start the match, and I'm in the corner, and I drop down. I said, oh, my dad drops down. Yeah. Says, get your ass in the ring.
How about for you? How was your first match?
Horrible.
Yeah.
Same. Horrible. Like, I go out. It was Sabu who booked me in Midlothian with Ian Rotten.
What was it called? Midlothian,
Illinois. That's the town for IWA Mid-South.
Right.
And I get there. Hey, you're Carlos Colon's nephew. Oh, yeah, you're at the main event. I'm like, what? Like, no, you can't do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I'm biting my tongue, and it was me, Vito Tomaselli and Brandon Tomaselli, I think it was. No, Eddie Kingston against Chris Hero and Ian Ron, a 3-on-2 handicap match.
Mm-hmm.
And they come and say, so what do you do, kid? I'm like, I didn't know what to say. Like, what do you mean, what do you do? I just said, I'm just pretty basic. That's all I did.
Meat and potatoes.
Yeah. But, you know, up some spots, you know
right,
what I mean?
Right,
but they brought
right.
me back the week after, so that was cool.
That was cool, yeah. So what did you do after your trial? You came back to Puerto Rico?
I came back to Puerto Rico, not thinking. I said, okay, WWE isn't for me. I'll just, you know, wrestle here and go to school and graduate. And about 8 months later, 6 months later, I get the phone call. And my dad's like, I don't know how you got the phone call, but you got it.
So what did they say? Did you come in at FCW?
Yeah, or, okay. I showed up. My first day in FCW, I show up, and I guess it was an off day because there was still FCW was setting up at the time where Kern was running it, and it was an off day. But I wanted to just, you know, show my face. I wanted to shake hands. I was already a little intimidated because the day I show up, it was like four other guys, new guys, and they're all football players. Don't know anything about the business. Got signed, you know, for their look. And I'm looking at them like everybody's like 6'5". I'm like, oh, I'm going to get my ass beat. Oh, they're green too. Oh,
green and Christ. Strong.
Yeah.
A horrible like, combination.
I'm not going to survive a year here. Because, you know, you have to take bumps, you know, from 8 in the morning to like 3 in the morning.
Right, because they treat you like it's your first day. It doesn't matter what you've done before.
Credit to Dr. Tom. He took care of me. He always looked out for me, made sure, you know, this guy's safe, this guy can work. Mm-hmm. And he always paired me with somebody who we have, you know, decent matches with. And he was like, yo, you don't have to take so many bumps, this and that. He had a group of guys that knew, you know, they had an idea of what the business was about, and he took care of me in that sense, and I owe him a lot of credit for that.
What were they calling you down there?
I tagged with Eric Perez, who had a short stint here. I think he was like one of Vicky Guerrero's boyfriends.
What was his name? Eric
Escobar.
Escobar. Escobar. Yeah. Yeah. He didn't last very long.
No, Escobar.
God bless him. We were called the Puerto Rican Nightmares, and I think they called me Eddie Colon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Eddie Colon,
which Puerto is Rican your name,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then so they brought. When did you finally come up to the big to the main roster?
I was in FCW for about a year. I remember I got lucky because I didn't have to re-sign my lease in Tampa. So I get called up, and I think they weren't going to tag me with my brother at the time. They just had me do like one backstage, and then my first match on TV was with Charlie Haas, who was just dressed up as Charlito. And this is in, I want to say this is in Wilkes-Barre, Wilkes Bar.
Charlito.
And after that, they decided, well, let's tag him with Carlito because they weren't doing much with him at the time. Like, they didn't have, he didn't have a specific program.
Yeah.
So we tagged, and they put the titles on us pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from there, we had a good little run for about a couple of years.
I remember, were you doing something where you like went on some dates with the Bellas or something?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Tell somewhere. Us about that. It was up in Seattle. I remember this.
It was goofy. I forgot it, but
you went to a restaurant. And
yeah,
you were
we went
the
to
waiter.
A restaurant, which was right there. You know, backstage catering. They kind of
yeah. Oh, they just made the restaurant backstage.
Yeah, yeah,
they didn't
yeah.
Even
yeah,
take
yeah.
You to a real restaurant.
No. What did we do? I think. Oh, they got cake on their face or something.
Yeah, one of you guys was dressed up as a waiter or something. You're trying to hit on them or
something along
those lines. Yeah, the wacky colognes, right? So what are you doing at this point in time, Orlando, when you're watching him come on into the big leagues?
I'm working Puerto Rico, doing exactly what he was doing.
Okay. And were you Orlando Colon?
Yeah, I was here. I was okay. Here, yeah. Giving out finishes.
Oh, really?
Trying to make my way up to WWE because now my two cousins are there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, oh, how much fun will we be having if us three could be there?
Right.
That was my dream. And I was on top of my uncle. Hey, I think I'm ready. I was like, when the time is right. And then 2009 came, I had my tryout. And in March 2010, I was already in FCW.
Wow. So is it hard, do you think, for your pops to lose? You know, first he loses Carly, then he loses Eddie, then he loses Orlando. Does that hurt his business to an extent?
It did.
It does, but it helps him at the same time because when my brother would come, because my dad has, you know, it's not written in the contract, but they have a verbal agreement with Vince and with Johnny Ace at the time, who was talent relations. He said, yeah. Whenever I want my sons, I can have them for a show here or there, you know, as long as it doesn't conflict with
right, something big,
with the schedule.
Right,
yeah. So, you know, my brother was working a full schedule, and so was I in WWE. But when my dad had his anniversary show or his Christmas closing show or Three Kings show or Thanksgiving show, he'd ask for us to come down and
okay, you guys
and run a Saturday. Yeah, yeah. It was
okay.
A verbal agreement, a handshake. So that was cool. And every time, you know, my brother would come down, you know, it'd be a decent house. Yeah.
That's kind of an old school agreement. You know, the handshakes.
Oh, yeah.
Handshake.
Yeah. They don't have to sign anything. It's okay. You can have them as long as, you know, there's not a pay-per-view or something and we're already booked on something.
So where did the name Primo come from? Does that mean cousin in Spanish?
Yeah.
Doesn't it? You should be Primo, yeah. Orlando, yeah.
God bless, I think it was it Freddie Prinze?
Yeah.
He was a writer here. I think he's Puerto Rican, but I don't think he speaks it.
He's like New York,
yeah,
Puerto Rican.
Yeah, he doesn't speak the Spanish. Yeah. So anyway, I think he's watching Scarface because they got Carlito's name. Well, Carlito is his real name, but I think they got it from Carlito's Way.
Okay.
The movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's kind of somewhat of his character, you
mm-hmm.
know. Well, I think Freddie Prinze was watching Scarface, and the cousin is Primo. But his name, he's calling his cousin.
Yeah.
It's not his, like, his name, yeah, not his birth name.
Yeah.
So I said, oh, we're going to call you Primo. It was Primo or Diego. And this is a rib. I said, please don't call me Diego. And now they call me Diego. I was so pissed off. I said, please, whatever you do, don't call me Diego. I get it anyway.
I forgot about that. Yeah, you're Diego in the Matadors. And then how about, what about Epico? Just Epic?
Yeah. We were thinking, me and Sin Cara,
mm-hmm.
we're doing a tag team. Dusty comes up to us and says, what do you think about wearing a mask?
Hold on a second. We have a tradition here that if you talk with Dusty, you have to imitate his voice.
I can't do it, baby.
With a Puerto Rican accent. So he said, you're going to put you under a mask?
He asked me, would you mind wearing a mask? I said, no, that'd be cool.
Mm.
And so we started doing that. I said, we need to think of a name. We can't call you Orlando or Tito or whatever I was.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, Sin Cara's name at the time was Unico. It's like, well, what could rhyme with Unico? I was like, well, Epico, Unico and Epico. You know what I mean? Okay, let's do that.
Perfect.
And it stuck, and when I got called up, I was Epico.
So when you got called up, was it to tag with Primo? Or how
it was
you
a funny
called?
Story there. What was it? He wasn't even there. It was a SmackDown. And they booked me with the original Sin Cara. And Unico was going to come down, and we were going to beat him up, and I was going to join Unico. So we do that, and then the following week, we were going to do like a gang, mm-hmm. me, Unico, and Primo. They had us, it's like funny because they go, we wanted you guys to be like a gang, but we don't want to dress you up like a gang.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't want to do a stereotype.
Right. We want to do a stereotype, but we don't want to do a stereotype.
Yeah, so when we got to Liverpool, we were in England. Yeah, just wear this, jeans and a wife beater. I'm like, oh, God. You know what I mean? There we
yeah,
go.
Yeah.
We did that, and then I guess it was too violent or something. That's what they said.
For you two guys?
For us three to be together, and, you know, I was like...
So it was Epico, Unico, and Primo.
And Primo.
Okay.
Yeah. It lasted for about a week and
for
a half.
For about a week. Oh. And then the week later, it was me and Primo tagging against the Usos. And a funny story, we were in Liverpool, right? And Rosa comes up to us, hey, I pitched an idea to be your valet, you know, for the gang. And we're like, yeah, that'll never happen. We laughed it off. The following week, sure enough, Rosa was with Primo and Epico.
Yeah. Yes, old Rosa was the dancing machine for
dancing
you guys,
machine,
right?
Yeah.
Rosa, yeah. 2 left feet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And her not real Spanish.
Yeah. She always come up to me and I try to help her out. I think they sent her a media tour in Costa Rica.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I had to give her every line because she didn't know a lick of Spanish. I'm like, I don't know how you got this gig, but good for you.
But that was a good team, and it's actually funny. Whenever I come to this building, you and I had a match here.
Yeah, which was 5 years ago.
5 years ago, yeah, it was a great match. Because here in Puerto Rico, you're like the big baby face. And I remember you did the cartwheel in the middle of the match.
Toe touch.
That was a great match, man. You guys have always had good matches. You know, you guys are hell of a hand. That's kind of which is almost in a lot of ways the worst thing you could be called. Because he can put you with anybody. And you have good matches. You know what I mean? So is that what you guys were doing as Primo and Epico? Were you guys ever the champions as under those names?
We got the titles.
Yeah, we got the copper tag team.
Looks like at a live event.
The pennies.
Yeah, it looks like you can unwrap.
At a live event. Oh yeah, I was like, we're gonna do something different, Johnny. Like, yeah, we're gonna do something different. We're gonna give this chap said live event. I was like, I said, all right, I'll take it.
Yeah, we ran with it.
It was in Oakland.
Oh really?
And we had it for about 8 months.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
That is funny, though. Those titles look like if you could unwrap it and eat chocolate underneath.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like it's chocolate-covered
like
coins.
Too much pennies, what they do to me. I'm like,
jeez. That was funny because they were talking about it. Like, oh, we got these new titles coming in. And when they showed up, I was like, that's what you spent like a year on? Really?
I think
Trips and Shawn Michaels was it. I think Shawn looked at it and said, no, I'm keeping these ones. So he had to rather carry two belts than carry that one belt.
Yeah.
And then when they got rid of it, when they dropped it, then the other guys, I don't know who it was, they started using the new belt.
The chocolate covered. Who did you guys win the titles from?
Kofi and Evan Bourne.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. It's so funny of things. Like, I would never even remember that those guys were a team, Kofi and Evan. You know, things go so quickly, it's like you don't even think about that, like you said, you know? Who else did you work with in that time frame?
Well, we had good matches with European tours
with Kofi
and R-Truth.
Mm.
Yeah, it was fun.
That was a good run.
We were doing that little Jimmy spot where he had little Jimmy the imaginary.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd kick him in the mouth. And then Ronnie would get pissed off and just express me, beat the crap out of me.
Right, because you kicked little Jimmy.
And we could milk that for like 5 minutes of the match. It was just, you know, Shakespeare. No.
I remember that. Yeah, here's the little Jimmy. You look at it like, pantomiming right here?
Put him on my lap. Hey, little buddy. Oh.
how do you guys like touring over in Europe in comparison to touring in the States?
Oh, we love it.
I love it. Actually, we love the tours. I mean, you know, it's 14 days of you know a little bit of sightseeing, a little bit of drinking, a little bit of you know, treat it as a vacation because we don't get a lot of time to just chill and we're with the boys right there. You know what I mean? We have to enjoy our company. It's kind of like we're forced to in a certain sense because you know we see each other about 16 hours a day when you're on those tours on the bus.
Traveling together.
Yeah. So,
Well, and that's the thing too. It's like the even this last time we went to Japan, I think the three of us, yeah. Doc Amon and and Woods went out.
Woods.
And it's like that's it out of the whole crew. Only us five. Yeah. And we had a blast, man.
Yeah. They said the boys would come. Nobody wants to go.
Like, you know, they set us up in that karaoke room in the back of the room there, and it's like if you don't go take advantage of stuff like that,
you're not really enjoying taking advantage of the business. You know, in my sense.
Exactly, and the night we went out to eat with the New Japan guys, that was a fun night.
You know,
we stayed up till 5 a.m. that night, you know, drinking and having fun with those guys.
The thing is, when you know, I always look at like people spend they save up for years to go to Japan.
Mm-hmm.
We get to go there for free and get paid to do it.
Yep.
You better go look around and see what's up. You know, that's always the best way.
And we always have when we got called up and we got paired up together. He told me, he said, we got to treat every tour as if it was our last.
Hmm.
And every tour, that's exactly how we treat it. Because we never know if we're going to come back to that town.
Whatever town, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. That's a good way to see the business when you go overseas.
No, absolutely, and take advantage of it.
Yeah.
So how was it for you guys being up here together, you know, as the tag team champions when you started out wrestling in, you know, in a room with the WWW all the way to tag team champions? Was it like a pretty cool moment for you guys?
It was cool. For me, it was a dream come true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was like, wow, man, we were doing this in my room. You know, we made a championship built made out of carpet.
Uh-huh.
You know, we just cut the shade.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Whatever.
Now,
I was like, but now we have the real thing, you know?
Uh-huh.
And just to get to work alongside with my cousin, travel the world and have great matches with different people, you know, for me, it was like, wow, what else can I have, you know? The only thing missing was Carly.
Right.
You know what I mean? Which is still a dream that we still...
Still want to have the three of you.
Still want to have that, you know. I think we can do some amazing stuff.
Is Carly working fairly regularly now still?
Oh, yeah. He's, that's his profession.
Independence.
Overseas. He goes to UK, goes to Qatar a couple of times.
Wow.
Yeah.
So
he stays busy, goes to Puerto Rico. He's with my pops at least once every other month.
Once you work up here for a while and get that TV exposure, you can probably work for the rest of your life.
Worldwide. Guys like Honky Tonk are still,
doing
it. I think Ray the Hammer still, still gets
booked. Still see them around. Yeah, it's funny. You know, that's exactly it. So how did the whole idea for the Matadors come about?
It was a funny story. At the time, they weren't doing much with us, but neither was Ray and Sin Cara, but they were teaming. And we go to Ray and say, hey, would you mind doing like a little angle, a three-month program where we wanted to do exactly the Conquistadors. That's exactly what we were looking for.
We were like, we can do a mock of that.
But let's do it different.
Because those guys were Puerto Rican guys too, aren't they?
Yeah, that's the Estrada.
It was Estrada and I think it was Leon, right?
Jose Luis Rivera.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then Edge and Christian did it. I'm like, well, let's do it, but let's not wear that outfit. Let's just do something different.
Mm-hmm.
And what is good antagonist for Mexicans?
Mm-hmm.
Spanish. There's a little bit of heat because they think they're the superior.
Right.
You know what I mean? Latin... culture. So like, let's do this. Let's just be bullfighters. You know what I mean? We'll be arrogant. People know it's us. It'll be fun. It'll be hokey, but it'll be a 3-month program. You know.
You know. Everybody knows who we are.
Yeah, we'll lose a mass at the end, and we'll keep going. And we had this awesome pitch. We pitched to Vince and Triple H, and they loved it. And we were drinking, going in California, driving somewhere, and we're like, how awesome would it be if we do vignettes, like for 4 or 6 weeks? And usually, when we bring somebody out for vignettes, first 3 weeks, you're just squashing people.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, let's do this. Let's do different. You know what I mean? We're arrogant. Let's have our first match. Boom, boom, boom. We're looking good. We're looking great. We're arrogant. In the middle of a match, we lose.
Mm-hmm.
How awesome would that be? You know what I mean? And after that, the following week, we'll step it up and we'll start beating people. You know what I mean? So we pitched the idea. They liked it. And then all of a sudden they go, yeah, you guys are gonna be baby faces. You're gonna have a little bull with you guys.
Well, they said we're gonna put the bull with you, little Torito. And he's gonna be the bull. He's gonna come up with a cape and all that. When I heard that, I was like, we're baby faces. they're not gonna boo, you know, a cute little 3-foot
cute little bull.
Yeah. I'm like, oh crap. Well, forget about that storyline with Ray Ray.
It's not gonna happen. And it never happened.
I was laughing too because sometimes you have the masks on.
Yeah.
And they kind of move on you.
Oh, yeah, it's terrible.
All over the place, right? Like the half mask, nothing really holds it in place.
I can never put it on right. I look cockeyed. One eye is going one way, one's going the other.
But that's just part of like you said, that's the longevity that you guys have, is that they always give you guys stuff.
Something, yeah.
Because they know that you guys always have good matches.
Yeah. And we're having fun with the gimmick, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like it takes time for a character to get over. It doesn't matter who you are. Some people take 6 months, but usually it takes years for people to recognize you. And I noticed that when I worked in Puerto Rico, like, I was getting a little bit frustrated that my uncle was giving me a big push and the crowd wasn't easy. It takes time. Mm-hmm. You'll get there. You'll get there. I got it when I started coming back from SCW doing these shows. That's when I started really getting the recognition from the crowd. I was like, you know, uncle, you're right. It takes years for somebody to really get over, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But we knew with this gimmick at the beginning, it was for the first few weeks, it was fun, good reactions, and then they started booing the crap out of us. Yeah, I remember we did the storyline with Cesaro and Swagger in Miami.
Oh, yeah,
and then it was like they completely treated us like heels.
In Miami?
And we're like, oh, my God, you know. So we just kept going with it, you know.
Why was that? Why did they treat like heels in Miami?
I don't know. I don't think they liked the character.
Mm.
You know, they knew who we were. Because we're Puerto Ricans pretending to be not Puerto Rican.
Good call.
Yeah.
So. Puerto Ricans pretending to be Spanish with a Mexican name or whatever. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All the sellouts.
That's interesting to think about. Yeah, because people aren't stupid. Like, they know. Okay.
Hey, don't bullshit me.
See, but that's the great thing about you guys, and you know, and nothing against some of the guys coming up, but they don't learn how to call it in the ring and deal with how it works. Yeah. But if you go out there and they're booing the shit out of you,
just go that way.
You're going to turn heel.
Yeah, yeah.
And you guys are still going to have a great match because you'll be able to call it anyways.
Yep, on the fly, yep.
You know? Because that's the secret of the business. That's kind of the people don't learn. You
go with the flow.
Is going with the flow and calling it out there. Yeah. You know, especially with the experience that you guys have and all that other stuff as well. Yeah. So what kind of reaction does Torito get?
He's the one that gets the pops.
Yeah.
You know, we walk out, it's like lukewarm. It's like, oh, we're laughing. We're enjoying it. All right, it's coming. Torito comes, big pop. Oh, yeah.
Was it the same thing with Rosa, too? Was she getting the pops of the gang?
She was, but her timing was a little off. There was some stuff. I'm like, Rosa, damn it, don't dance now. I'm trying to get some heat.
There'll be times when we're doing the matches TV, and she's telling us to go home. In Spanish.
Okay. She copies what. She just copies whatever we say. Stupido. Yeah.
Stupid. Vamanos. Would you say vamanos a la casa?
Vamanos a la casa.
That's not even the real way you say it in Spanish, like in Puerto Rico or in Spanish.
No, if you're in
a ring wrestling somebody, they're not going to be saying, they'll say vamanos, right?
Yeah, we say vamanos. Yeah, let's do it. Let's go.
She's literally saying, let's go back to the house.
Let's go back to the house.
We had fun with her.
Yeah. Well, that's what you got to do. Like you said, go with the flow and just make it work and have a good time with it. You know, and always have a spot. A funny story. I just saw Kyoto here. Haven't seen Kyoto in, I don't know, 6 months or something like that. And you're here too. And this is the greatest story ever when you guys were playing football inside the arena.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Tell it from your perspective and then I'll tell you from my perspective.
Oh, Christ. All right. This is great. I want to apologize again to you, man.
I was so mad.
We're playing football, and obviously that's not a big sport in Puerto Rico. Baseball is. So, and it's, I think Swagger had an OU. That's about, a 6-inch football. And we started throwing the football.
Inside the arena.
Inside the arena.
Because we sit around for hours doing nothing. So you guys are just killing time playing catch.
We're just horsing around. And, you know, boys being boys. And Kiki starts to step back. I'm like, Kiki, go. I threw a rocket. I wanted to throw a rocket to his chest, but my trajectory was a little off. I threw it a little high, and you know how they have those big lights, the round lights,
the floodlights. Yeah,
yeah, the floodlights. It gets lost in the lights, and I'm like, "Oh shit!" Boonk! And all I see is a chair go up in the air, and there's Chris cutting a promo. Who the? And I'm like, "Oh shit." Little by little, I'm raising my hand. I'm like, oh, man, I got to own up to this. It was me. And I remember your beeline straight to me. I'm like, all right, let's see what's going to happen. I guess I'm going to take a punch or two. Here we go. You come beeline, and Kiki's in your way. And I guess Kiki's always red in the face anyway.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he was, like, chuckling. I think that's
he was kind of laughing, yeah.
And you see him, and you're red hot pissed off. You see him and you shove him, and Kiki's got his discotheque shoes on. He slips. He goes like, whoop, whoop. It looked like a cartoon. Whoop, 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 what? It wasn't me, this and that. So then I start heading your way. I'm like, oh, shoot, I don't want Kiki to get this. You know, I got a man up to it. It was my bad. So I start heading your way, and you're ready to freaking, you know, tear a new one in the poor Kiki. And I'm like, yo, bro, who's me? I believe, yo, the heat's on me, not on Kiki. And. Oh, shoot, because I remember you told me I got you square in
the
eye.
I was talking to Arn. We were just shooting the breeze, sitting down, and I turn at the last second and get hit right in the eye by the corner of the football. Like, right, like, dude, like I felt my eye go like, boop, like push your eye back, and you couldn't do it again if you tried. Like it could, nobody could throw it that perfectly. It was just a total freak of nature. And dude, it hit me so hard in the face, and I just look up, and I look right over at in your direction, and I'm just like, motherfucker. And I walk over, and I'm going over. I don't know which one of you guys throw it. I don't care. I'm just going to fight everybody. And Kiki, like you said, he kind of is smiling, and not smiling at me, but maybe kind of like, oh, wow, or like, oh, shit, or maybe just looking at his face. What are you laughing at? I push him, disco shoes. It's not me. And then we're pushing each other. By the time that you owned up to it, I'd already been so mad at Kyoto that I wasn't even hardly mad at you. I'm like, well, you too. Screw off. Screw you too, Cologne. So then I got to go in the trainer's office, and I got to do the old, like, put a patch over this eye and check put a patch out, over this eye. They're putting eye drops in there, and it feels like you know, like you got punched in the eye. Yep. And then you came in and you apologized, and it's like, dude, no problem. It was such a mistake. But I was so mad that by the time I finished yelling at Kyoto, when it was finally you, it was like, oh, all right, well, you suck too.
He was pissed off because he rides with us a lot. He's like, man, you ribbed me again, you son of a bitch.
I had to go up to him after and apologize to him, and he was so mad at me, and then I got mad at him again for not accepting my apology. Then we're fighting again, and it's just well, getting ready to wrap it up. If I got two questions for you. What's your favorite match that you've ever seen, Orlando, and your favorite match that you've ever been in?
The favorite match that I've seen would be Eddie Guerrero against Chris Benoit, the finals for the United States Championship.
Oh, wow.
That's
God, those guys had such great chemistry, man. I have to watch that one again. I don't think I remember that.
Every time I watch it, I'm like a little kid.
Oh,
the
yeah.
The way that they used everything.
Such great.
Everything. Yeah. Great storytelling, how they build up to the finish and everything. It was just
mind-blowing.
It's a masterpiece.
Talk about perfect chemistry those guys had, you know?
I mean, not even the moves, just the intensity that they brought to the ring.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know that they were going to go at it.
Yeah.
You know?
Eddie wrestled like he was 6'8", and so did Chris.
Yep.
But Chris was bigger, but Eddie wrestled like he could take on Big Show and you'd believe it.
Yep,
you
exactly. Know?
Absolutely.
You know, he brought that intensity.
Yeah.
And my favorite match to date would have to be... actually, one of my favorite ones was me against him in this building.
Really?
6 years ago. Before I got signed... we did an angle. We shot an FCW because I burned my uncle.
Okay.
So he was coming to the rescue. So he knew I was having a tryout. So we had a crew go to FCW and slapped him and beat the crap out of him. And we had a hell of a match here.
Was it a WWE show?
No, for my uncle.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah.
And that's, to me, one of my favorite matches.
The favorite match you had, yeah. How about you, Eddie? Your favorite match that you've seen? Your favorite match you've been in?
I got to go with Brett and Shawn, those Iron Man matches. I think they had two or three.
The WrestleMania one, though. Yeah.
Because you're like, wow, you can go for an hour and make it entertaining. Mm-hmm. I mean, back in the day, Flair did a lot, I know. And
They what now?
And Flair did a lot.
Yeah, the 60 minutes,
I think the modern era of doing it was these guys, and they always put on a clinic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they start off slow. You're like, oh, this is going nowhere. And little by little, there comes a story. Here comes a fall. Here comes no. Here comes a comeback. Here comes a heat. Here comes, you know.
Yeah.
They could make, you know, they could have probably gone for 2 hours if they wanted
it
to.
It goes by so fast once they get rolling into it. You can't believe it.
Yeah. And then you realize, wow, a whole hour.
And it's been 60 minutes. Crazy. Yeah.
And just the cardio to have, you know, the stamina.
Oh, yeah. Have you ever had a 60-minute match?
I've had a 30-minute match.
Really? Okay,
And I'm good with that. That's my limit right there.
Yeah. How about
you? I had a 45-minute match, but not because we had a storm here in Puerto Rico, and half of the island was cut off. Like, all the highways were cut off.
Yeah.
And we only have – and this was in the middle of the mountains. We had a sold-out house, and I think – 4 or 6 wrestlers.
Oh.
So, and some of the guys were on the way. So, at the time, there was 3 guys.
You know, the promoter's not gonna cancel the show.
I said, you keep working until someone else gets here.
So we're still counting the money in the box office.
I worked for 45 minutes the first match. I saw the guys pulling in because it was at the stadium and they parked inside the stadium. I saw the guys get out of the car and said, all right, we got 5 more minutes before they get ready.
Yeah.
They're running in the second match. Set up for the main event tag, me in it again. So I wrestled 3 or 4 times that night.
So cumulatively, you did 2 hours. Yeah. What's your favorite match you've ever had, Eddie?
It's been a couple, but I think me being green, I got a chance to wrestle with Rey Mysterio. I think it was 17 or 18 at the time.
In Puerto Rico?
Yeah, in Puerto Rico.
Oh, wow.
This was right between WCW and him coming here. Mm-hmm. He's good friends with Conan, and Conan was working here. And he said, yo, are you interested in having Rey? I said, hell yeah. So I did 3 matches with Rey.
And I believe it was the second one that I, like, I remember because we hung out the day before. We went to, you know, some after hours. We had a good time. And I'm like, I was already apologizing to him. I said, I'm sorry. This is not going to be my best A game. And Ray Ray was, you know, he comforted me. He said, don't worry. Some of the best matches I have, you know, after
hungover.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, cool. And you know, I was real, real green at the time, but he took his time to go. We went to like a practice ring.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he took the time to, you know, to feel, you know, how you know, my footing and all that. And, you know, he let me do some stuff, and he did some stuff that, you know, to trust a 17-year-old kid,
right,
green as hell.
Right.
And he didn't have a guaranteed contract with WWE.
Just a one-off.
At the time. Right? So I was like, and you know, we had a real good match, and I appreciate that. It was one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. One I'll remember, you know, for a
forever,
long time.
Forever, yeah,
yeah. Definitely.
Well, it's great talking to you guys, man. Is your pops coming tonight?
I think so. He was asleep when I left him. I was at the house. So if he gets up, I know my mom's going to be here, my sister, and my niece and nephew. So I look forward to seeing them.
And your mom's from Canada, right?
Yeah. From Oakville.
That's hilarious. Yeah, half Canadian, man. Well, cool. It's great to talk to the boys here on the island. And let's go to work, man. Gracias.
Gracias, brother. Always a pleasure, my friend.
Thanks, man. We're shaking hands right now.
Thank you. Yeah, gracias,
right. Oh, yeah, that's one last thing. I forgot about this. We almost didn't talk about this. So we've got this little thing, this tradition about Mil Máscaras, who, a legendary guy, but if you know him, hard to get along with in a lot of ways. I'll be honest, I can say it because I don't give a shit what he thinks of me at this point. But he's like very talks like very condescending. Like, what are you doing? I'm Mil Máscaras. No one cares about you, only me. And you guys know about this too because he obviously has worked for you.
So
thank you for doing my show.
Very welcome.
Your show is good.
You finally have a star in your show.
Thank you. We'll see you next time. have a good match tonight. No one cares about you, only me. Thanks to the Colognes for all the stories. Great guys, Primo and Epico. We actually tracked that show a few months ago when we were in San Juan, Puerto Rico, like I said, and it's great to finally hear it and hear the guys now. Thanks to them, and thanks to you guys for supporting Talk is Jericho and all the great sponsors, including Amazon, who've been with us since day one. Amazon is the easiest way to support this podcast. You go to podcastone.com, click on the Killer Deals button in the top right corner of the page, then hit the Talk is Jericho button. I got the links for the USA, the UK, the Canada Day. Every time you use the Talk is Jericho Amazon links, Amazon kicks back a small percentage to this show to help us cover production costs. You can buy just about anything you can think of on Amazon. Get the whole Motorhead catalog, celebrating the life of Lemmy, Phil Campbell from Motorhead on this show a couple episodes ago. How about the Motley Crue albums? Go check out the Crue Cast. You can get a microwave if you need it. I bought a microwave myself on Amazon. You find about anything you want on Amazon. Once again, those links won't cost you anything extra. No hidden fees or extra charges. Just go to Podcast One, click on the Killer Deals button in the top right corner of the page, then hit the Talk is Jericho button. All my sponsors are there. You got easy access to ddpyoga.com/Jericho and the new DDP Yoga Now app. You got the books.com, that's BOUQS. Get some flowers for Valentine's Day and for True Car. Thank you for checking out my sponsors, and then thanks for being a listener of this show. If you have been a longtime listener, you know, about a year ago I had on Axel Rotten, and we were talking about his his recovery and getting him out of the physical therapy ward that he was in, where he could barely walk. He made it out of the ward, and he just recently passed away. We still don't really know what the details are. Bottom line is, I don't care what the details are. It's a horrible blow. Axel was seemingly doing well and getting his life back on track, and then died at an early age. And I got to give, you know, my thumbs up to Axel. Like I said, I always thought he was a good guy, and I did my best to help him and hopefully gave him a little mental boost for the last year of his life or so. But I'm not sure exactly what happened, like I said. But God bless him. He was a good guy. And I'll never forget he and I going to see Kiss on the reunion tour in Richmond, Virginia. Or was it Norfolk? Norfolk, Virginia, I believe it was. But crushing blow when you hear something like that, especially when I thought he was doing good. And you know, I hadn't seen Axel in a long time, but I spoke to him quite often via text. Even spoke to him on the Sunday before his passing, and he passed away, I believe, on Thursday, last Thursday. So God bless you, Axel. A true warrior, like I said. A true warrior, a good guy, and I did the best I could to help him, and hopefully I'll see him again on the other side. So God bless you, Axel. Thanks for everything, and thanks for being a true, true warrior, like I said. So thanks you guys for listening. Stay tuned for the 60-second AP News headlines coming up next. And on Friday,
It's a great show. Legendary rock and roll photographer Bob Gruen will be here. If you've ever seen the John Lennon New York City photograph where he's wearing the New York City t-shirt, Bob took that one and thousands of others. Great friends with Mick and Keith and John Lennon. Took the picture on the cover of Dressed to Kill by Kiss. Was instrumental in the early days of Blondie, CBGBs in New York City. He is a true New Yorker and he's a true rock and roll legend, a stalwart. Great show. You're going to not want to miss this one. Bob Gruen will be here Friday. Thanks to you guys. We'll see you then. Stay hard. Stay hungry. Peace, love, and hugs. And a big yeah, boy.
You can download new episodes of Talk is Jericho every Wednesday and Friday at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
Okay, keep your eyes closed.
Okay.
I want to show you my first ever painting.
All right.
Okay. Open your eyes.
Oh, that's a lot of colors and shapes.
So be honest. What do you think?
Well, I like how if you switch to Geico, you could save hundreds of dollars on car insurance.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Here, why don't I hold your paintbrush while you call them?
Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
It's your last chance to get great holiday savings at Guitar Center. Like a Yamaha F335 acoustic guitar, just $99. Or get a Luna Soprano ukulele, only $49. Plus the newest and hottest guitars, drums, keys, and more. Exclusive gear you can't get anywhere else. Special financing. Lessons for the beginner on your list. And gift cards, the perfect present for every musician. So hurry in and find your sound at Guitar Center.
Trump's victory. I'm Ed Donahue with an AP News Minute.
It's always a lot of fun when you win. If you work hard and lose, that's not acceptable.
At the White House, President Trump welcomed Republicans from the House and the Senate who passed a bill overhauling the tax code. The president says the middle class will be seeing the effects of this bill very soon.
The typical family of four earning $75,000 will see an income tax cut of more than $2,000. They're going to have $2,000, and that's, in my opinion, going to be less than the average. You're going to have a lot more than that.
The tax overhaul bill also includes a corporate tax cut.
We have companies pouring back into our country, and that means jobs, and it means really the formation of new, young, beautiful, strong companies.
Democrats have criticized the tax package as a giveaway to corporations and the rich. The tax cuts for businesses are permanent under this tax bill, but reductions for individuals and families will expire after a decade. I'm Ed Donahue.